Dude, this played in my classroom the other day. Oh.
The original.
Dude, the bass.
But that guitar's pretty
Come on now. His band is so good.
They're all right.
I love songs that are like subtle in the fact that when you listen to it from like just like I'm in the car and not really paying attention, it's good. But then you put it like headphones on, or you know, you sit down and you really dissect it, you realize what like a piece of art it is, just like a brush stroke. You know.
Yeah.
It's like trying to reproduce like what's that guy? A Pollock painting. You know, it's like there's a beauty to what Pollock does, and you can splatter paint all day, but it doesn't capture whatever the heck he does. He just had a magic touch to what he did. And that's what I feel like a song like that, or like, you know, the greatest example for me is the Canadian band Rush. It sounds so simple. Like Tom Sawyer sounds so simplistic, but when you actually dig deeper into that song, all the little things that Neil Peart does is just fantastic. And it's amazing. So I'm glad you play that. That's great. I haven't heard that song in forever, man.
It was
man.
Good. And the best part about this is we can just dive right in and be like, hey, if you're watching, hey, we're the UNT3. We're the podcast that brings you all music all the time, guys. And like right there, just this is what we do. We play a song. We talk about it. I'm your host, Ryan Gerfers. We got Mr. One Take Fisher. He's going to do it again. One take tonight. Like, I don't know how he does it. I really don't.
There you go. There's the clap.
And then this guy right here, our hero, I'm going to just say this about this guy right here. If I was guaranteed $100 million,
oh geez,
and I had to pick one person that would show up late, that's the guy I'm picking right there, because I'm getting $100 million.
Hell yeah.
Because he truly would be my hero at that point, because I'd give him at least, you know,
a hundred.
I'd get him, you know, $100 bill, y'all.
At least a million of that $100 million.
Dude, I tell you what, this is what we do. we talk music. So if you've been watching this year, we've been doing featured artists. We got another awesome featured artist for you tonight. But before we get into that, I want to talk about something real quick, because I saw a headline pop up online today, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this at all, but I want to bring it up just to get your opinions. And the headline that I read, and okay, I may be late to the game on this, but the headline reads, Dolly Parton declines Rock and Roll Hall of Fame nomination.
As well she should.
Yeah, and she's country.
And so... Well, and in her statement, you know, even though I'm extremely flattered and grateful to be nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, I don't feel that I have earned that right. And it goes on to talk about other rock and roll and country Hall of Fame inductees that have been inducted into both is Brenda Lee, Johnny Cash, Elvis Presley, Chet Atkins, Hank Williams, and the Everly Brothers.
I don't consider Elvis country.
Yeah. And I mean, he started the rock and roll movement. I mean, if you right, want to go for a basic, regardless of the roots of it all, I mean, but he's the one who kind of brought it to the forefront. So right. I don't mind any of the others. I will say that I am thoroughly applauding her stance. I think it's great that she's like, I don't have to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm a country artist, and that's where I need to be.
I wish more acts.
I wish more acts would too. Yeah.
Do it.
Well, so the list that she's nominated with right now, it's the short list that was, she was named on this last month. She's alongside fellow first-time nominees. So Eminem is on there.
See, he shouldn't be on there.
Yeah. Eminem should not.
Lionel Richie.
I'll give Lionel Richie.
What rock song did he do?
Rock pop in the 80s. We can discuss it later, but continue.
No, we can't. You're wrong, but
Duran, yeah. Duran Duran.
Should be on there.
And then A Tribe Called Quest.
Shouldn't be on there.
I love A Tribe Called Quest. I will listen. In fact, I bought their vinyl record for Brock a couple months ago. Absolutely love them. Low in Theory is amazing. Midnight Marauders shouldn't be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So no, I'm just saying, I absolutely love them.
Now,
that is a terrible list.
Well, that was a short list of first time nominees. There's other people that are being considered. Some being Rage Against the Machine.
Should be.
Pat Benatar.
Should be.
Dionne Warwick.
Shouldn't.
That's borderline for me.
Carly Simon.
Yeah, I'll give it.
Judas Priest.
Yeah.
And Beck.
Yeah.
And then
I can make more of a case for Beck than all the other hip hop artists that are on there.
Well, then Beck's not hip hop.
But he straddles that line.
He does, but he also sings and has, I mean, he has rock tunes, he has punk tunes. I mean, he's, you know, like I can get the Beastie Boys because they actually did punk and rock and they weren't just rap and hip hop. So anyway.
No, that's fine. And then there's just and then the other nominees, Kate Bush.
Yeah.
Devo.
Yeah.
Eurythmics.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not slaying this. Fela Kuti.
But I think Fela Kuti is like jazz, right? Or I don't know. Okay.
And then MC5 and then New York Dolls.
MC5 should be because they're a punk band from the mid to late 60s.
And then New York Dolls.
They did kick out MC5s to kick out the jams, and the New York Dolls should be in it too. I mean,
that's a piss poor list.
Well, there's some good people on there. I'll just say that. And I think that there's enough to make a claim to have people in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The concern that I have is that it's okay to sit there and have boundaries of what rock and roll is. What concerns me is I love almost every artist you listed. I'm not a big Dionne Warwick fan or whatever, but I think what happens is you kind of dilute the specialness of being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's kind of like saying, hey, here's the Baseball Hall of Fame. It's a sport. And you know what? There's things that people take from basketball and maybe the training techniques and this and that, and they put it into baseball, which makes them better baseball players. So we should include basketball players into the Baseball Hall of Fame. I'm sorry. They're two separate sports. And you know what? You never hear a basketball player complain about it. You never hear a baseball player complain about it. In fact, sometimes you don't even hear people that should be in the Hall of Fame in those respective, you know, genres or whatever or areas. And you don't ever hear them complain about being included. Why are, you know, certain people not in, you know, that are outside of that sport. And I know I'm going to get kicked on this because people are going to say, well, music is different and it's objective,
but it's not. I mean,
but like
half of the people that are on that list, I mean, take the Beastie Boys for instance. Yes, they did some rock. They were more than just rap and hip hop, but what are they known for? Like, when you hear the term, when you hear the name Beastie Boys,
100%, 100%,
rap, hip hop, they belong in the rap and hip hop Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
not the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
100%, and I even have an argument for jazz people too.
Right, I take the stance of someone like Eddie Trunk, who is an outspoken critic of the Hall of Fame. He can't stand the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because you get people like a Dolly Parton or a Dionne Warwick or an LL Cool J when he was nominated, right? You get, and I hate to just pick on the rap and hip hop people, but I don't feel that they have a place in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And when those type of artists are being nominated, you're taking away a spot from a Moody Blues or a Deep Purple, who they're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but they had to wait so long that founding members of those bands passed away and were not able to be recognized as they should have been.
Yeah.
And so when you're putting acts who, regardless of what your thoughts are about what is rock and roll, right? Because you can make the argument rock and roll is more of an attitude than anything else.
Yeah.
And the rock and roll attitude permeates through all genres of music, right? But when you take that stance, founding like seminal groups of what rock and roll is, you're pushing to the wayside so that you can be inclusive or you can be progressive or whatever you're trying to be by nominating these acts.
Yeah, 100%.
And so, you know, do I believe that an artist like Dionne Warwick belongs in a Hall of Fame? Absolutely. Right. But like you said, baseball players are in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Basketball players are in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Football players are in the Football Hall of Fame. Someone like Dionne Warwick deserves to be in the more R&B dance / disco Hall of Fame, right? Something to that effect, not rock and roll.
100%. And if you're going to do it, either include everyone and call it the Music Hall of Fame.
Right.
Which is fine. You want to do that? I mean, that's kind of what you're doing anyway. And I think you take out the stereotypes that we're fighting right now, because for me, my judgment is purely on what I consider rock and roll. I don't care. Right. Like, dude, Living Color to me should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Bad Brains, don't you dare. Bad Brains should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. There are several.
One good album.
Oh, geez. Okay.
That's a totally different episode.
That's a totally different episode. They've actually put out three really great albums. But then after that, it tanked. But my point in all that is if you say, hey, you know what? We've decided we're not going to make a distinction between any genre. We are going to call it the Music Hall of Fame. The only thing that you open your... You know what's funny? You never hear a classical composer complain about not being in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You don't hear some of these other outside genres.
But like an LL Cool J or a Run DMC or Beastie Boys, I don't think you hear them complaining about not being in the Rock and Roll before they got inducted.
100%.
You didn't hear them saying, I deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. No, because they know that they're not rock and roll.
Yeah. And, or they just don't care. I mean,
they don't care.
You know, Jay-Z got inducted last year. It was great. LL Cool got inducted last year. He was great. He performed. It was one of the best performances of the night. For me, it's not rock and roll. Now, he's great. And I love him. Dude, I'll listen to Radio. I'll listen to Mama Said Knock You. Name the albums.
Right.
But me, like, just make it the Music Hall of Fame.
And then make it
a popular music fest. And then what you're going to see is what you're seeing at the Grammys and all the other. There's something special about watching a football player get inducted to the NFL Hall of Fame. There's an intensity there that they've worked their whole life to get into that. Right. And they very rarely don't cry. Right. And that's the same with the Baseball Hall of Fame and the Basketball Hall of Fame. And you know why? Because few people get into it. And that's what makes it special. But if we're not going to do that, let's take out the debate. Let's take out all of the outside of the music commentary and just make it music. Hey, this is the Music Hall of Fame.
Well, and I think especially right now with the state of rock and roll, like rock and roll is not the predominant form of popular music right now.
100%.
Right. And so to a place that is supposed to celebrate and promote the art form of rock and roll music, when you start letting outside acts from other genres into your Hall of Fame,
yeah,
then it dilutes the specialness and what the people who like us who are fans of rock music, it takes away a little bit from what makes it special. And so I think, again, I don't want to speak to the intentions of the voters,
yeah,
and the people who are in charge of making this list of nominees, but I think in today's climate, I think, you know, in the spirit of trying to be inclusive and progressive and, you know, hey, we don't, I think this is an area where you kind of, it's a dirty word, but you kind of have to discriminate, right? You have to be discerning about, okay, here is the line,
yeah,
of what is and what is not a rock and roll artist, because you've got bands and artists out there, and I named a couple, they're already in, but you have bands and artists out there who have been waiting, like let's take Judas Priest, for example. Judas Priest has been eligible to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame for at least 15 years now.
Mm-hmm.
At least 15 years.
Yeah. Well, look at Rush, how long it took them to get in.
Yeah, but that was more because...
Well, my point
critics never loved Rush.
But
right?
But my point is that's another example. And, right, you know, Fisher, to kind of tag into what you're saying, you and I have varying degrees of what should be allowed in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but we don't, I mean, we can still get along. Like, ours is based off of music and merit, and it's okay to have distinctions. Like, for me, when I think rock and roll, I think rock and I think pop, because that's what I grew up in. You wanted to go get rock music, you went to the rock pop section. So anything that falls in those, like Duran Duran and all those ones off the side, and even the heavier stuff like your Metallicas and stuff like that. So for me, my spectrum's a little bit wider. Yours is a little bit thinner, but we have a healthy debate about it. It's not about, we're not excluding people based off of anything other than the way the music is written and how it's recorded and how it sounds, right, to me falls under these criteria.
Right.
And the fact that there's this idea that because we have an opinion that opposes other people's opinion, well, it's not based, we're not basing our opinions off of music. I guarantee you mine is solely based off of how the music sounds, how it's recorded, where the roots come from.
Well, and, I agree. Like the group A Tribe Called Quest.
Yeah.
They are a pillar of the hip hop community. Like,
yeah, arguably top five in the history of all hip hop.
You do not have hip hop the way it is today without A Tribe Called Quest.
100%.
There's just no getting around the fact. Do they deserve to be recognized and placed in a Hall of Fame because of it? Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, if they opened up a hip hop Hall of Fame tomorrow, I would say A Tribe Called Quest needs to be one of the first inductees.
Yeah.
Right. They need to be in the inaugural class. They don't need to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. They're not rock and roll.
Yeah.
And I wish that more artists would take the stance of Dolly Parton and go, I'm deeply honored. However, I am not rock and roll. And even in her letter, she goes, now this makes me want to go out and make a rock record so that I can be, right? She was like, maybe I'll make one of the best rock records of the year this next year.
Yeah.
And so, like, as much of a badass as he is, and he's not in it, I don't think, but does Willie Nelson deserve to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? No. He's not a rock. He's a country. He needs to be in the Country Music Hall of Fame,
yeah,
right? I mean, you just because they have the attitude of rock and roll does not automatically make them eligible to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Man, the best part of this whole thing is we took literally what was I was hoping to be like a 3-minute segment, and we turned it into like 25 minutes. That's what we do. That's exactly what we do, though. We like that was literally.
Well, you picked the hot button topic.
I did. And the thing, but the thing was, is I didn't realize that y'all were going to get that passionate about it, which is amazing.
We've had this debate before. It just didn't involve Dolly Parton. She just happened to be.
She vocalized
time, our struggles with
and
the Rock Hall.
And I guarantee we'll have similar discussions every year about this time of year when the list comes out.
Yeah.
Right. And you look at the list and rock fans all over the country go, how in the hell did these three these three artists get on the list of nominees?
Yeah.
What's going on? And it, all it does is it slowly but surely, like I used to love watching the televised presentation of the inductees at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Not anymore. If I'm going to watch it, I'm going to watch it for one, maybe two acts, right? Yeah. And we're getting to the age now where the bands that we grew up listening to are now eligible, like the Nirvanas and the Pearl Jams,
Green Days, Soundgarden,
Metallica's. There's a band that's not been, they were
on they the haven't list even been nominated
and
yet.
They haven't been nominated yet. And I, if you're gonna put in Pearl Jam and Nirvana, you have to put in Soundgarden and Alice in Chains.
They should have been put in way before. And again, everybody that I mentioned, I love way before Jay-Z.
Right.
I mean, LL Cool J. I mean, they should have been put in before those guys. And again, I am a huge The Blueprint. I played that album by Jay-Z. I can't tell you how many times.
What it really does is when acts like, why can't I think of their name right now? The Cure. When they got inducted, Robert Smith, the lead singer, on the red carpet walking in, they asked, you know, what does this mean being put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And basically he was like, piss off. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Right. Like, or the bass player for Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
His whole attitude was like, how do you give an award for art? This is an art form. How do you, when he made that quote, it was more about the Grammys and things like that. But the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame falls in line with that.
Yeah.
And so if you want to start changing those kinds of attitudes, Axl Rose didn't even go to the induction.
Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols.
Right. You know, I mean, theirs was more just because they,
because they're the Sex Pistols.
The Sex Pistols or they're Axl Rose. Right. But those type of artists, if you want to start changing their minds, you can't start diluting the talent pool, so to speak.
100%.
So we're beating a dead horse at this point.
It's all good. You know what? This is going to be fun because we're going to jump right into something that we were doing a lot before. I shouldn't say a lot. We did quite a bit, but we're going to bring back. Whose corner are you getting in?
Oh.
Now, with a twist. Usually, we pick two artists. I'm coming at y'all tonight with three. It's going to be three artists. And I have, next to my list of these three, I have taken a guess on who I think both of you are going to pick.
Ooh.
And who you're going to pick as your number two and who you're going to pick as your number three.
Nice.
So... Okay. So we're going to dive right into whose corner you getting in. Three artists. Here's number one. I expect an eye roll at least from one of you.
Which
on
one?
I think it's going to be you, Fisher. I really
okay.
do.
Okay.
But it may be both. I don't know.
Let's see. Dionne Warwick.
It is not Dionne Warwick. All three of these are male artists. Here we go.
Dionne Warwick.
No comment. All right.
Oh man.
to
I'm having trouble placing this.
Oh man, this is Kenny Loggins, my brother.
Yes.
You're not getting an eye roll from me out of Kenny Loggins.
Okay.
Come on, his work on soundtracks alone.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Dude.
And that was the thing. The song that I was going to pick, I had a hard time doing. I was like, well, what movie do I want to pick a song from?
There's Caddyshack. There's Man. Footloose. There's Top Gun.
And I went with Sylvester Stallone's Over the Effing Top.
Over the Top, man.
Dude, just
turn the hat backwards.
You will get an eye roll out of me on that movie.
All I do is I turn the hat around. And
it's like turning on a switch.
Turns on a switch.
Oh, my God. Gosh, man.
Okay.
So good. So
hands down, the worst Stallone movie ever.
Oh no. Cobra was terrible too.
No.
You shut your dirty mouth.
Cobra was terrible.
Okay. We're gonna just jump right into artist number two because that's ridiculous. All right. You shut your filthy mouth. God. All right, here we go.
Oh my God.
Wherever you go. Oh. Man,
you get an eye roll out of me on this one.
Dude, who did I meet recently that said that they knew Richard Marx? And he like played demos for him.
Well, you couldn't get away from this song when it came out. This song was everywhere.
Man, you know what's funny is when he first came out, his first single that I remember on MTV was Don't Mean Nothing.
Uh-huh.
And that is still a great track. Like, that is still my favorite Richard Marx track.
I'm surprised you didn't go with that one.
Which one?
It Don't Mean Nothing.
But this song,
it was hard to pick a song. And
you
it,
have to play
that. I was like, you know what? That's exactly
you
right.
You don't have to do anything.
Well, there are certain rules. There's rules in this case. You have to, as far as Richard Marx, that is by far his biggest hit. But for me, Don't Mean Nothing was always the big hit. It just made me laugh because I knew about it and he didn't really do much with it. And then that song came out. It was like,
yeah.
Middle school dances all around the world. Rejoice. Right.
What's the third?
All right, here's the third. And this is what I'm going to say right now, because I don't know where you stand on the other two. The next one that I'm about to play, I have both of you getting in this dude's corner.
All right. Eddie freaking Money. Okay, out of these three, yes, I'm in his corner.
She just passed away last year, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. She passed away. I don't know. Fisher may have to check me on that. So Eddie Money.
So we've got Fisher saying he's getting an Eddie Money's corner. I got that one right.
Okay.
I got that one right.
He might have passed away 2 years ago.
No, I'm talking about Ronnie Spector, the girl in the background.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think she passed away recently. Man, what are we basing this off of? Like,
it's what we've done in the past. Like, you've got to pick one that you're going to go get in their corner and you're going to stand with them.
Okay, so
not based on anything.
Ronnie Spector died 2 months ago.
Okay, that was close. I'll give it. I thought Ronnie Spector died recently. Great singer. If you don't know her story,
Eddie passed 3 years. Oh well, it'll be 3 years in September.
Yeah, go read her story. It's pretty amazing, especially because she was the ex-wife of Phil Spector, who shot that lady a few years ago.
So whose corner too?
Yeah, he did.
Whose corner are you getting in?
Okay, so I am gonna go off of what I consider the full cultural impact of what this person did, and I will say everybody on this list is amazing. But I'm gonna have to go Kenny Loggins.
I have to go Kenny.
And this is why. You look at the Top Gun soundtrack. You look at the Caddyshack, you look at Footloose, you look at Loggins and Messina. I mean, your mama don't dance and your dad don't rock and roll. I mean, he was a a great artist on his own, and to see how he transformed from the 70s into the 80s. I mean, there was nobody hotter in the sense of music than Kenny Loggins. I mean, I just have to, I hate to be, and I love Eddie Money, but I have to go with my boy, Kenny Loggins.
Okay. So who is y'all's number two?
Number two for me would be Kenny Loggins.
Okay.
Oh man. That's
he's got, he's doing it for dramatic effect.
No, I'm just saying, like, I don't know if I can choose between the two. I mean, Eddie Money had a much longer career.
And a lot more hits.
And a lot more hits, you know, 70s on, you know, Two Tickets to Paradise. I'm going to have to go Eddie Money. So I'm going to switch it, like, from what you chose.
So you had that, and then you both have Richard Marx at three.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great artist. Like
Richard Marx doesn't even deserve to be in that list.
Oh, stop.
Oh, man. So, okay. Come so on. I'm going to give you.
I would put Michael McDonald in there before.
But we already had him in a get. We already had him in a pick your corner thing. And I didn't want to, like, do it again, even though I considered putting him in here as a fourth.
Yeah.
I really did. But so these were my picks. So, Joel, your official picks are Kenny Loggins, Eddie Money, Richard Marx.
100%.
Joel, I had you at, hang on.
Coca-Cola. That's sponsor.
And so, Joel, I had you at Eddie Money, Kenny Loggins, Richard Marx.
Okay, that's.
So I just had your one and two flip.
Yeah.
Fisher, I had your one correct. I had your two as Richard Marx and Kenny Loggins as your three.
Are you flipping kidding me?
Man. So, hey.
Did you say you had him as Richard Marx?
No, I had Richard Marx as my number two. As his two. I got his Eddie Money correct.
Okay. Yeah. I just, for me, like, the reason I chose the two is, like, with, for me, Kenny Loggins, even the B songs off the soundtracks that he did, I know, you know, and with Baby, hold on.
Two Tickets to Paradise.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
I'm in love.
Yeah,
shaking.
Yeah,
take me home tonight.
But those are all the hits. Well, but those are all the hits.
Who cares? Okay.
I'm just,
and your point. I mean, I know your point is, I know the B sides too, but.
But for me, Kenny Loggins, I knew more of his catalog. I think that he was a bigger, and I'm not saying Eddie Money's great. This is, like, we're talking, like, a very slim margin here. But for me, at the end of the day, if I'm putting on an album and I have to choose between the two, I'm gonna choose Kenny Loggins.
There it is.
Saying. I didn't say you had to agree with it. I'm just saying that I'm right and you're wrong.
Man, Jesus, well, loves you.
Well, you know what? Let's all get on the same page. Let's move on to the featured artist, because I have a feeling all three of us are gonna love the featured artist. So,
okay.
So here we go. This is another band that used to be, and they probably still are, and they were everywhere. Okay, British band, right, formed in the late 90s.
Oh,
here we go.
Boy, you picked a hot one tonight. You thought we had hot opinions about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
We just waited for Fisher's camera to go black.
Look, I will say this. Their first two albums, especially their second one, A Rush of Blood to the Head, I don't see how you get much better than that album. Right, it just, as from a songwriting standpoint, the emotions that album can evoke. That album is in my top 10, almost top 5, but it's in my top 10.
Yeah,
everything after that is kind of like Pearl Jam. Everything after their first three albums, shit, at least in my opinion.
So wow. So for those of you listening and watching, our featured artist is Coldplay. They were formed in 1996. Let me give you a few numbers before we listen to their next song or the little clip. So, 9 studio albums, 6 live albums, 6 compilation albums, 4 video albums, 17 EPs, 39 singles, 15 promotional singles, and 3 charity singles. They've got 100 million albums sold worldwide, and it's said that they're the most successful band of the 21st century and one of the best-selling musical acts of all time.
I mean, by the numbers, yes, that's correct.
They have 7 Grammys, and according to Billboard Hot 100 on the alternative list that they do, they have 8 number ones.
Yeah.
And so these guys, like I said earlier, dude, they were everywhere.
Yeah.
And they still kind of are.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm going to play real quick. I'm going to play the first song of theirs that I ever heard. This was the first song I ever heard. And this may come, this may be their first hit. I don't know, but I'm just going to play the clip.
I used to hate this song.
Love it.
Yeah.
And then it hits back in. So that's the first song of theirs I ever heard.
That was their first hit.
Yeah, that whole album is great. Yeah, the whole, well, yeah, yeah. That was their first hit. That whole first album, Parachutes, is great. I agree with Fisher. Except for the album Ghost Stories. I don't know why. I didn't like Viva La Vida. I didn't like Milo Zito. I didn't like some of the other albums that they put out. But for me, Ghost Stories, which I think is their second or third to last album, for some reason that album, I think for me, the reason it worked is it he was getting his divorce and doing some things. Of course, he's married to Gwyneth Paltrow and separating and all that stuff. And when they recorded Ghost Stories, it was around that time. And I think that that's probably why I relate to that album a little bit more than some of the other, other stuff that they did. I'm sorry, man. I hate La Vida. You know, whatever it is. Yeah.
The Viva La Vida. I'm actually, so that makes me happy that I didn't put that on the little clips list. I only put 4 songs on the little clips of theirs, and that one was not on there.
Yeah, but for me, like Ghost Stories, and there was some okay, like there were some okay songs, but for me, like Ghost Stories, the whole album is just a somber kind of reflection on where he's at that time, and the music reflects that. It's a very chill album. I love that whole album, but I do agree with Fisher. Those first two albums, if they would have had a third that matched the intensity of those, I mean, I still think they're one of the greatest bands,
I'm probably not as harsh on Viva La Vida as you are, only because that was like the last album where, and I admittedly, after the one that they put out after Rush of Blood to the Head, what is that, X and Y or whatever?
No, I think it was La Vida, and then X and Y.
No, I promise you.
I'll double check. Let
me, X and Y came out in 2005.
Okay.
Viva La Vida came out in
2008. You're right. I respectfully remove my complaint.
But Viva La Vida was kind of like their last album where you could still really consider them a rock band before they just like full on went into the pop synth type of
100%.
Music, right? Before 100%. They started collaborating with pop acts like Ariana Grande and artists of that nature, right? completely turning their back on and going 180 in the other direction from Parachutes and A Rush of Blood to the Head. Mm-hmm. Right. Like,
I agree.
You know, you have bands out there like Radiohead, who they put out their first two albums, Pablo Honey and The Bends, and those are full on rock albums, right? Like full on rock and roll albums. And then they come out with OK Computer, which is still rock, but you can see where they're headed.
Yeah. Right?
And then after OK Computer comes
Amnesiac.
Amnesiac. And yeah. I'll admit, the first time I heard Amnesiac, I was like, what is this? This is not the Radiohead I know. Right.
Yeah.
And then they came out with Kid A after that. And you're like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
But after a while, the most diehard Coldplay fan can make this exact same argument.
Yeah.
Right? You have bands like Radiohead who, when they decide to, you know, they don't want to make the same album they made the album before.
Yeah, 100%.
Right? And so we're going to do something different. And you get albums like Amnesiac and Kid A and In Rainbows and what's this? A Moon-Shaped Pool. Oh God, that album is so good.
It's so good. Underrated.
Yeah.
So good.
But then you have acts like Coldplay who do the same thing, who go, okay, we're going to go in a different direction. And it completely alienates people like me who really fell in love with them because of Parachutes and especially A Rush of Blood to the Head, right? I can't say enough good things about that album. But, you know, or even like Metallica, when Metallica put out Load and Reload, right? There were still little bits of what made them Metallica in those albums, but they wanted to do something different.
Yeah. Right?
But it's like Coldplay was like, forget these albums. We're going to do this over here. And I watched a video of them the other day where they, I want to say it was like 3 or 4, maybe if that long, maybe 2 years ago, they were touring in Amsterdam and they played their song Amsterdam. And before he played it, you know, he was doing his little introduction, and part of his introduction was, it's been a long time since we've played this song, and it'll probably be a long time before we play it again. And they went into it, and you could tell it had been a while since they had played it, right? You could tell that, like, he was off key, they were missing marks, missing cues, things of that nature, right? It was just, like, they just decided that day, hey, we're going to play this song. We haven't really rehearsed it that much, but we're going to do it anyway. And it just wasn't good.
Yeah.
And I'm going on a tangent here, but still, I love early Coldplay.
Right? Yeah.
And Zach Braff does too, right? Like, if you watch Zach Braff movie.
Yeah, Garden State. Yeah.
Garden State, the one he did after
Last that, Kiss.
Like that kind of, I don't know, it's very era specific, like it's very early 2000s. You can tell, like, when you hear those two albums, Parachutes and Rush of Blood to the Head, you know what time period it came out in.
Yeah.
But it sounds like something that could come out today as well.
Yeah.
Right.
100%.
So I love this band, but I don't, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, what we haven't done is we haven't gone over the members. I'm going to tell you who the members are, then play you probably one of my favorite intros to one of their songs that hooks me every time I hear it. But before we get to that, members are Chris Martin, lead vocals, piano. Then Johnny Buckland, lead guitar. Is it Guy Berryman or Guy?
Guy.
Guy. Guy Berryman on bass, and then Will Champion on drums. But I'm
he
gonna
is play- the forgotten member now, because they use so much, their music is so electronic. What does he have to do in the band?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm going to pit. This is my favorite intro. This is this is queued up at the very beginning of the song. Love it.
Can I, let me guess real quick.
Okay.
I'm going to say Politic.
It is not. Damn close, though.
I'm going to say the scientist.
He I already played that. Scientist.
Oh, shoot. Sorry, I forgot. We've been talking so long. Sorry.
No, I'm just gonna, play it. Here we go.
And he played yellow. He played the scientist first. And I remember teaching lessons and all the piano students trying to learn this.
It's a good burner album.
I mean, that intro just, it, for me, it gets me and it makes me want to keep listening as to what's coming.
Yeah.
And to see where it's going.
Yeah. No, definitely. What's funny to me, though, and this is where I'll probably get shot. This is my least favorite song on this album. And I never really liked it when it first came out. Like, I like
middle,
it, but
it's
I
about middle for me.
But it's funny because it became one of the biggest hits off the album. But
my favorite songs off that album are the last two.
Yeah.
The title track and Amsterdam. Those are my two favorite off that album.
Yeah,
well, I'm about to.
Although Green Eyes is a pretty good one too.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna play real quick. I'm gonna play my favorite song by Coldplay, and this is more towards the end of the song. The build up to this part of the song for me is it.
Okay.
So I'm just gonna hit play and let it run for a little bit.
I just named the song.
Yeah. This is by far my favorite Coldplay song.
Yeah. Man, so good. Oh. So good.
Yeah,
man, I had tickets to see them, not on this tour, not on the Rush of Blood at the Head tour, but on the X and Y tour. Mm-hmm. I had tickets to see them in Houston, and that's when Hurricane, not Katrina, the one after it, I can't think of it, the one after Katrina, that was when it hit and show got canceled and they didn't reschedule it.
That's you know, one of the things that I was thinking about what you're saying, Fisher, and because I 100% feel the same way. Now, I do like I said, I like Ghost Stories, but I think for me I saw Ghost Stories as a Chris Martin album. Me personally, like when I it didn't sound like Coldplay. But I was thinking about what you said, and I think there are people like Radiohead, there's people like U2, there's certain band, Metallica, that even when they change their, hey, we're going to go in this direction, we're going to change our recording process, the DNA is still the same. Like when I listen to any of the Metallica albums, even though the techniques of how they did things and recorded things and the length of songs, it still sounds like Metallica. When you listen to Radiohead, all of their songs sound, and it's not just Tom York. That's the thing. Oh, the singer. No, it's not just the singer. Even Tom York's.
It has just as much as to yeah, do it, with it, the two guitar players as it does Tom York.
And even on Tom York's solo stuff, it still sounds like Radiohead. And it's not because of his vocals. It's more than that. And U2, I feel it's the same way, even when they went electronic and all that stuff. I think the thing that I have a disconnect with Coldplay, who I absolutely love. I have those first two albums. I've said it, Parachutes and A Rush of Blood to the Head. There's a tonality to those albums. There's a flex. Like when you listen to that buildup and that song that you just played, Gurfers,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like it's not going to finish the phrasing because, and correct. That's what propels it to continue to move forward. When they got into more of the electronic side, which I'm not against. I mean, there's a lot of bands that do it. And it sounds good. Radiohead, geez, they went completely electronic for a little bit. But for me, the things I love, the intimacy of that first album, the intimacy of the second album, the way the songs flowed, it changed. It just, for me personally, it changed. And that's why when I listen to Viva La Vida or X and Y is okay. It's not bad, but it's okay. But when you get into those later albums, it literally is just, we figured, to me, my ears is, we figured out a formula. People love our lyrics. People love our melodies. They can sing it. And we're just going to produce pop songs. And for me, Coldplay was more than just a pop band. And, you know, I'm glad that they have success. I'm glad that they released those first couple albums that I like. But for me, they kind of lost their identity. And that's fine. But I just have a disconnect. It just doesn't sound, you know, if I pick up an acoustic guitar and I play something off of the first two albums versus the last three or four albums,
right?
It's not the same, you know? It's just there because that's what I relate to, is those first two albums. So, but it doesn't mean I hate them. I still love them. Mm-hmm. I played the hell out of those first two albums. I mean, I don't know how many times we all listened to those albums together. So,
well, I'm glad that you said that. And Fisher's been saying too, how much he likes the first two albums, because I'm hijacking the first listen again.
Oh, and, wow.
And here's the deal. We don't typically do this on our first listen, but I am going to play a song by Coldplay. Ooh. And it's off of their first album. Oh. And so this actually is from a movie that I love. And I believe that this song fits perfectly into the scene of the movie. I'm going to play it. We'll talk about if you can figure out what movie it's a part of or whatnot, but it's 3 minutes and 47 seconds. It's not a long song.
Okay. So, the Rugrats movie. Let's do it.
Here we go.
Good choice, Nervers. Good choice.
I absolutely love this song.
This is one of those songs that it's 10:30 at night. Everybody else is in bed asleep. You're sitting on the couch, one little lamp on, drinking your whatever you want to be drinking. You put these headphones on and just drift off to another land.
You down. Oh, yeah.
such a good song.
Dude. So
not the one I would have picked off that album, but a good one nonetheless.
So do y'all know the movie that it came out of? I know both of y'all have seen the movie.
Is it Garden State?
It is not.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll give you an actor. Owen Wilson.
What
is Vince Vaughn in the movie too?
Vince Vaughn is in the movie as well.
Oh,
Wedding Crashers.
It is in Wedding Crashers.
Wow. Okay.
It's in the scene where Owen Wilson and the leading lady in the movie,
Rachel, whatever.
I they're catching feelings for each other and they're walking down the hallway to tap on each other's doors or whatever. I think that song in that movie, in that exact scene, it's so perfect.
Catching feelings for each other.
Feelings. But man, dude, that's
calling doing the diddle, but sure.
That song is called Sparks, for those of you listening. It's off their first album. And so that, dude, to me, like, man, everything about it, the guitar, the vocals, the chord progressions, everything they do, it's great.
Yeah. I mean, that whole album is that right there. I mean, and that's, yeah. It's not a rehashing of the same thing. It's just that tone. I mean, it's a moment in time album for me, for sure. But like, as soon as you played it, it was like, by the way, I want to say, Fisher, congratulations. The radio edit intro you did as it was starting, like talking about, you know, that was like perfect timing. Like you literally cut off right at the perfect time. So, but I mean, for me, if you like this song, you literally will love the entire album.
The entire album.
And yeah. It's exactly what, for me, when I put it on, I mean, of course, Yellow was what got me hooked into the band. And so I bought the CD and then I thought, holy hell, this is a great album. So you've done it again, because every time you've done this, I get off the podcast and I spend the rest of the night like listening to.
Yeah.
I mean, I literally am like, light them up.
I'll probably be listening to, if not this album, most definitely A Rush of Blood to the Head. I'll probably be listening to it till the weekend.
Yeah.
I probably, if I had to pick a song off of that album, Parachutes, I would have either picked the title track to it or Don't Panic is the one that was on the Garden State soundtrack.
Okay.
I think it's Garden State.
I think you're right. That's a great movie too, by the way. If you want to listen to music, I mean, Gurfers, as much as I want to give you crap, because you've been texting this all day, this is gonna be great, I can't, this was wrong. Great. I mean, it literally
was not wrong.
And you know, how amazing is it that we have an artist? Because, you know, sometimes we write off artists after like a couple bad albums. But I mean, Coldplay can do no wrong, even though I don't really like their other stuff. If you like this, go check it out. I mean, anyway, so go follow us on YouTube. Go check us out on Spotify, Apple. We're doing podcasts there. We're growing worldwide. We just covered worldwide.
Prestige.
Prestige.
I was waiting for someone to say
Prestige that. Worldwide. Why?
But seriously, everyone, follow us, subscribe, hit the subscribe button so we can let you know when we have new stuff that's coming out. It's a lot of fun to do this, and we're going to do this regardless. But for those of y'all who enjoy what we're doing, subscribe, let us know that you're out there, message us, get on our Instagram. We have some, we got our first negative comment on Instagram.
It was awesome.
I mean, it's kind of like the time I found one of my band CDs in the UCD bin for $1. I thought I have officially made it. It wasn't that they bought it once, but they resold it and it's $1, which is really not a big deal now because no one buys CDs, but seriously, like, let us know you're out there. If there's a topic you'd like to hear, let us know about it. We'd like to check it out. So Fisher, you know, Gurfers has been doing the heavy lifting. So I hope you have some channels for us to check out. And by the way, did y'all notice my artwork back here?
Death Cab for Cutie.
So do you know where this came from?
It came from the show that I actually won tickets and took you to.
That's right.
Say hi.
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 All right. So this is like this was my little message. Like, wrap it up. We got to go.
Okay, let's do it.
Some channels I got for us today. One is Andrew Rooney Drums. It's a guy he's a drum teacher, and a lot of channels I shout out. It's a reaction channel, but he reacts specifically to obviously the drummer in the song. And I mean, you pick a drummer, he reacts to him. Danny Carey, Lars, Tommy Lee. I'm just naming guys. Dave Grohl, Taylor Hawkins.
Taylor Hawkins. Neil Peart.
I like reaction channels by somebody who knows how to play the instrument that they're reacting to, right? Like if it's a guitar player reacting to a guitar player on YouTube, right? Like it's really cool. Not just a lot of the reaction channels that I watch, oh, this song makes me feel this or that, but it's nice to also see a channel where they're like, here's what they're doing,
right? Yeah,
and here's how they're doing it, and I really like that.
And what's his name again?
Andrew Rooney Drums.
Okay, Andrew Rooney. I'll have to check that out.
Mm-hmm. And then the second channel I have today is called Shred. And if you click on the channel, the little banner up at the top says Shred Master Scott. And his little trailer, if you will, that goes on, that's on his page, is Music Theory and 12 Minute for Noobs. I think that should tell you everything you need to know about this channel. He does a lot of reaction. Like what is looking at his channel right now, Metallica's Most Embarrassing Live Performance, Most Evil Song Ever. Ooh. Metallica's Greatest Thrash Metal Song, Judas Priest's Most Evil Metal Riff. So you can tell what kind of music this guy's into and what he,
it's country.
It's country. He definitely doesn't critique bands that belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But you know, some of his most popular uploads are Bach versus Slayer, or Bach versus Randy Rhodes, or Bach versus
Bach versus your mother,
right? So or Scariest Metal Chords, right? And the only thing that makes me kind of about the guy is he's a lefty. Like, lefties have no business playing guitar.
That's the thing.
It was damn left.
So he's a Democrat?
No, he plays left-handed. So there you go. Those are the two channels. Andrew Rooney Drums and Shred.
Nice. All right. So y'all liked it this week. Wait until next week. Because it's only gonna get better.
Can't wait, won't wait.
And you know what? Keep the positive comments coming. Keep the negative comments coming. We like it.
Yeah, comments, bring it.
Feed the algorithm. So feed Let's that algorithm. Go.
And his name, or his stomach's name, is Algorithm. We got to feed it. Hungry. But hey, again, check us out on all of our platforms. Comment, like, subscribe, do your thing. And until next time, keep living, keep loving, keep listening. And as always, keep rocking.
Go like this. Give him the horns. Yeah. Yeah. All right, fellas. I got to go eat dinner with the family.
Do your thing.
All right, man.
Oh, okay. We'll talk to you later, guys.
I have bananas on my dress.
Dude, what did you think about the episode?
What did I think about the episode? What did you think about the episode?
I thought it was amazing. You did such a great job. I'm so turned on by you right now.
Yeah, well, here, you're going to be turned on by this song, too. We can't play this because we'll get blocked, but I'm going to play it.
I know exactly.
What am I going to play?
I'm going to play some Radiohead.
That's exactly what I'm playing. Yes,
and there's the ending.
Y'all take it easy.
Later.